This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. What they do, they smile in your face. All the time they want to take your place. The backstabbers,
backstabbers, they smile in your face. Welcome back. We are broadcasting live from DUC. This is one of the coolest places I've seen for college students and college athletes. Just a place to kick back and relax with all these TVs and couches, watching games. This is really a neat place. We're right across the street from the Athletic Center here at Maryville University, the Simon Rec Center. Is it Simon Rec Center? Am I confusing it? What's it called? Simon Athletic Center. Does SLU have something called the Simon Rec Center? I think they do, but this is the Simon Athletic Center. And we're going to check in with Lonnie Folks and Coach Stricker and many others in the 11 o'clock hour. Martin will join us. Chris Kerber is going to join us live from Dallas at 10:45. But Matt Rocchio has some Brian, do you have some text we can read for a few minutes before we get going here?
Let me load up those texts. I was actually looking for an update on Zion Williamson. I wonder when they'll have one on his MRI.
Hey, how about this, Brian? Hmm? How about Nike stock dropping dramatically early on as the stock exchange opened this morning because of that blowout of the shoe?
Oh, well, it's only down 1 point.
But I wonder what that means.
Also, you have to take into mind that their self-tying shoe, they just came out with an update that pretty much like broke all of them. It's like they're not really self-tying, they're not like tightening anymore, and so that you know, when you get a big product defect like that in one of your big new lines of sneakers, that might be attributed to it as well.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I'm sure Nike makes a fine shoe, but I think Darren Revelle tweeted this morning.
He's a sociopath. look, I'm just saying, if you watch what happened last night with Zion Williamson, and I don't care if it's his job, if your thought went to Nike stock, you possess zero empathy, and you're a sociopath. That's the only conclusion to be made. I'm sorry if some guy at Nike might lose money because Zion Williamson could have really badly messed up his knee.
So with an hour to go before the market opens, Nike shares were down 1.73. So apparently if they're only down one, they've jumped back up just a little bit. And then here's the story. Duke paid for Zion Williamson's insurance policy, as schools are allowed to do, premium for $8 million loss of value. Policy runs around $50,000.
I think it's a guaranteed $24 million if you're the first overall pick in the draft, I want to say, something like that. I think it's 4 years with a two-year team option, about $7 or $8 million per year, so it might only almost be $30 million guaranteed if you're the first overall pick. Just to weigh those two things really quickly.
And you got to believe his shoe deal will be $100 million, don't you think? Zion coming out, it would have to be.
What if he still signs with Nike? They could play this off as kind of like.
They
could play this off like a joke and have like his shoe have like some kind of like braces on the side that like, or like make it like look like. Obviously, that are aesthetically pleasing, but make it look like it's just like super secure because he's massive, I guess.
They're going to have to be clever with the marketing of it.
Exactly.
I bet Zion stays with Nike. What do you have? Do you have any text there? Okay, we're going to have Mike Claiborne on in just a moment. Broadcasting live from Maryville University. Let's head to Jupiter, Florida, where the temperature is what, Mike Claiborne?
It is
what?
Hello?
Yes, sir. I can hear you now.
All right. How are you?
Very good. How beautiful is it down there today?
Oh, man. This is postcard weather today. A little breezy, a few clouds in the sky. It's going to get to in the mid-80s, low to mid-80s. But the breeze knocks down the humidity. It's a good day to be in Florida.
Nice. I know you're tight with Ozzy. I imagine you've watched him work with middle infielders. Give our audience a little idea about Ozzy's impact when he's down there.
That's a great question. I was watching him the other day, and he still has the agility and the hands. And, you know, he is deliberate in everything he does. And just like he would be at second base, and they'd have these drills, and they hit balls at shortstop. And he still, when he catches the ball, still has that little hop step to avoid the runner that would be coming into him at second base. And,
really?
I mean, there's just some things that he just doesn't forget. And I was giving him grief about it, he said, hey, it only takes one time to forget that you shouldn't forget another time, because guys back then, you remember, yeah, guys like Bill Madlock that were coming in trying to put somebody either in left field or on the disabled list, and then sometimes both. But he really works with a lot of guys. He's always talking to the young guys, and he'll play catch with them just to see how they throw the ball, and just little things like that. He's a detailed guy, and that's been basically the one word you can describe for this spring training, detail. I mean, everything that they do has a purpose, from the drills to everything. And if somebody doesn't like it, they say, well, wait a minute, let's do that one again, and here's why. A lot, and, you know, we've heard that word communication, a lot of talking, man, a lot of instruction, a lot of making sure everybody's on the same page. And the players are engaged, and, you know, it's been fun to watch.
I know
there is such a thing.
Yeah, I know he played the end of his career quite a few years with a torn rotator cuff. Did you see him actually throw? And, Mike, do you think he could play an inning and still throw people out at shortstop?
Yeah, and here's why. The reason why he got away with playing with a torn rotator cuff, he knew how to position himself, and he had one of the quickest releases you'll ever see. You know, he knew what his limits were as far as distance from left to right, and he knew how to play hitters, man. But he could get rid of it as quick as anyone. And he still has the hands. There's nothing wrong with his hands. Now, his feet may hurt sometimes, but his hands are just fine.
You know, I think a lot of people were surprised when Mike Schilts said in the offseason after they picked up Paul Goldschmidt that they have a chance to have, you know, five or six Gold Glovers. And he included Paul DeJong in that group. And, you know, if you look at those defensive run save stats, DeJong did grade pretty well. I think it was surprising, though, for you know, the St. Louis people to hear that. What are you seeing with DeJong, and do you think he really does have Gold Glove potential?
You know, I think he's got a shot. You know, he lost a little weight. I was here in mid-January, and he and Colton Wong were working then. There's a lot of synergy between those two, and I think Paul will go the route of Ozzie in learning how to play guys position-wise, knowing what his limitations are, whether he's coming in, going back, going left, going right. You know, he's a smart guy. And I think now that this will be his third year short, I think he's really got it figured out. He and Ozzie talk a great deal along with Jose Oquendo. So I think he's got a chance to be in that conversation. I mean, you think about the National League, how many shortstops. You know, you don't know what position Baez is going to play every day. But when you look at the shortstop over in Cincinnati, is pretty good. You know, there are some good ones, and I think Paul DeJong can find himself in the conversation.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the outfield. And Dexter Fowler, and I saw him last week, he looks like he came into camp in incredible shape. He's going to get first chance to win that. But, boy, you got some guys behind him who can play a little bit too.
Frank, there's two things that this organization has done. And I give John Mozeliak a lot of credit for this. If you remember a few years ago, they went all in on pitching, and they drafted pitcher after pitcher after pitcher. Well, now all these guys are knocking at the door in the big league, and I tip my cap to him for having that sort of vision. The next thing he did was try to load up with outfielders, and they did it in a different manner. They made a couple of trades, but they went to Cuba and got a couple of guys. And I think Adolis Garcia is the one guy that nobody's talking about that could end up making this ball club. So the outfield is solid with regard to potential. There's this young man, Lane Thomas, who the Cardinals got in a trade last year, has high marks also. So, you know, if one of these guys goes down, I think they're going to be in pretty good shape.
So you believe
that Fowler – I think Fowler has gotten off, and granted, Frank, they're playing catch and taking soft BP, so I don't know, you know, if you can nominate a guy for an all-star team because of that. But his approach, he physically looks to be in great shape. He does. He said he's not hurting, and I think that's a plus, along with the fact that he is a different person I think the depression thing, he's kind of got a hold too. He's not playing for Mike Matheny. And I think that he has got a guy. He's a guy that's really coming in here looking to have fun again.
So you believe Garcia could be pushing O'Neill for that final roster spot?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt. You know, I don't think there's anything guaranteed about the fourth outfield. I think that Lane Thomas might have something to say about it. Garcia may have something to say about it. They've got a couple other kids they're going to give a long, hard look to. So Tyler O'Neill is not guaranteed anything.
I wonder the effectiveness of Jose Martinez, who can really rake, if he really happens to be hitting, if they'd ever be tempted to move Fowler at times, not much, but once in a while, the center, so you could play Jose Martinez more.
A good point. I think what you're going to see with Jose Martinez is I'm going to call him a getaway day guy. I think you're going to see him play a lot of Thursday day games, and I think you'll see him play a lot of Sunday afternoon games. So he can get four at bats a couple of times a week. He's going to be your number one pinch hitter coming off the bench. And you could stash him in left field. And I think what it'll also come down to is the matchups. Who does he hit well? Who doesn't hit this pitcher well? I mean, Mike Schilt's got some versatility here with Martinez and Fowler and Bader, certainly, and then there's Ozuna.
All right, good news yesterday. Alex Reyes threw the day before, and then the next day was fine. Do you believe, with Carlos Martinez being shut down for 2 weeks, that Reyes is next man up, or do you think they're going to be careful and it's either going to be Gant or Dakota Hudson next man up if Jose can't go? I mean, if Carlos can't go.
I don't think they're going to limit Reyes as far as he's not on any kind of pitch count. They're just going to let him come out and pitch, man. He feels good. You know, he said, I talked to him the other day about it. He said, I'm going to do whatever it takes to be on the big league club because, you know, I don't know what I can do in Memphis. I think with him, though, you got a roster issue because, you know, he's technically still on the 60-day DL, and they might send him out until somebody blows a flat tire or something. But, you know, if he's pitching well, Frank, I don't think the Cardinals are going to flinch at putting him in the rotation.
Wow.
And the bullpen, you know, the bullpen is so stacked with arms. That's going to be an interesting scenario, too. I mean, I think what we're going to have to do is start thinking outside the box as far as traditional roles. I think that, you know, Andrew Miller's a guy that's going to see every good left-handed hitter we face, and maybe he's a two-inning guy. I think the Cardinals might even look for a guy from the right side that they can have come in and do the sixth and seventh inning to get to Hicks or whomever. You know, you got some left-handed challengers. There's a guy, Hennessy Cabrera. I know it's spelled Genesis, but it's Hennessy Cabrera. This young man is, yeah, I know they say, well, he could be a left-handed Carlos Martinez. Well, that's saying a lot. I know this. He's got a pretty good heater, and he's starting to spot his change up a little bit more, and he's left-handed. So they've got some things here. I don't think the Cardinals, in all the years I've been following the team and covering the team and being in the business, have ever been this deep when it comes to pitching. Period. I'm talking about youth. I'm talking about experience. They've got some guys that can pitch, and they don't have to always be 100-mile-an-hour pitchers. I'm talking about guys with big league experience that came with some pretty good credentials. I mean, you know, think about Dakota Hudson. You mentioned him. This guy is maybe one of the most decorated guys in the minors, you know, double-A player of the year, triple-A player of the year. And I don't know what role he's going to have on the big league team.
Mike Claiborne joins us from Jupiter, Hollywood Casino Press Box, and the all-new 590 The Fan, broadcasting live from Maryville University. What have you observed about the professionalism of one Paul Goldschmidt?
He's smooth. If you talk to him, he kind of sounds like a hockey player. You know, just want to go out and work hard and, you know, right down the middle. He's getting to know people, and people are getting to know him. But his workmanlike effort is something that I wish there's about one or two other guys to pay closer attention to. I mean, he shows up. I mean, he looks the part. you know, I was watching him the first day of batting practice, and all he did for, like, the first round is just track balls, just watching him come out of somebody's hand, trying to see where the break is. And then the next round, he's the same guy was on the mound, and he started unloading on him, and I'm like, uh-oh. You know, but the way he handles his defense, I mean, Frank, we haven't seen a guy play this well defensively. You'd have to go back to Albert,
Keith Hernandez,
and then before that, Keith Hernandez.
Yeah, wow.
He's going to make the whole defense, the whole infield better.
That's impressive.
Pitchers won't be afraid to throw to first on a pickoff now without worrying about it landing out in right field somewhere because somebody didn't know how to play a position. He's smooth.
How about Andrew Kisner? Pretty dynamic. Has a nice-looking bat. I guess there's nothing he can do this spring to get him on the major league roster, right?
No, somebody would have to go down. I think that Kisner's year will be perhaps next year, but I think that the Cardinals may have learned a valuable lesson with Carson Kelly and how they managed him. And, you know, they brought him up, and he was going to get back up Yachty. And, you know, I mean, that's like being the Maytag repairman at one point. You know, you're just not going to play. And then when you do play, you're pressing. And then when you get sent out, you know, you have to kind of start over again. I think they want to make sure that that's a near seamless transition whenever it takes place. The other thing, though, with that, you know, Kisner can play more than one position. So he might be a guy you might look at as a utility guy as well, because he can play third base. So, you know, there's some options there, but I think that they want to make sure he focuses on catching, because here's the one thing, Frank, that we take for granted. How many pitchers have you heard say, I just throw what Yachty tells me to?
Yeah.
Well, they have confidence in him. Well, when Kisner comes along, the question is he going to have the same skill set? And the answer is no. You know, he's going to have to learn how to call games, and there's going to be a lot more discussion between he and the pitchers, and that's something that just takes time to develop. But it's not going to be something that's going to, you know, you can flip the switch the next day, and all of a sudden here comes Johnny Bench. That's not going to happen.
All right, here's the toughest question you'll be asked today. Factoring in age and durability, after Miles Mikolas, who has the next best chance of getting 25 starts on that staff?
Jack Flaherty. That's the easiest question you asked me today.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Hey, let me ask you this question. I don't know how we're doing on time. Now, I know you probably either saw the game or heard about Zion Williamson last night. And I know there's a big debate on whether he should even be in school, you know, at this point. But here's something that really kind of bugs me. Hey, Zion, put these Nike shoes on because they pay the school to wear these shoes. What if he likes PF Flyers or U.S. Kids or something he grew up wearing, and they won't let him wear them because the school's getting paid? He's not getting paid a quarter.
Yeah.
And for anybody who says, well, you know, he's getting a free education, has anybody bothered to add up the hours an athlete spends working for the university? There's nothing free about this education. But at some point, don't you think a player is going to say, no, I'm not wearing them. I like PF Flyers because they get the ring in them. And I know I'm dating myself here for those who don't remember PF Flyers where you got the little gift. But there's going to be a guy that's going to say, I'm not wearing those shoes.
Yeah. Well, first.
What's school going
to
do?
First, he shouldn't have to go to college. He should be allowed to go make money in the NBA. That's number one. But number two is, if they're going to make him go to college, then he should be able to choose his own shoe, get his own shoe contract, sell his own jersey, or get money for his likeness. I mean, there's a lot of – I'm realistic about athletes being paid. You know, as much – I love golf and I love baseball, but those are not revenue-generating sports. Those kids shouldn't get paid because they're not bringing in money. Zion, you know, should be allowed to make money on his name, and most reasonable human beings would agree with that.
Well, let me ask you this. They were selling tickets there last night for $2,500. I know that they didn't sell tickets $2,500 for somebody to come see the seventh or eighth player on the Duke bench or to see how many lapel pins Mike Krzyzewski's going to wear. They came to see this guy play.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that what you're going to see, the NCAA better wise up here quick, because they're going to get hit with a couple of lawsuits. Or the NBA is going to say, you know what, we're going to lower the age. And guys can come out of high school, they spend 1 year in the G League, and then they can do what they want to do. Because remember, you're getting paid $125,000 to play in the G League. That's better than what he's making in college.
Mike, great stuff. We will talk soon. Thanks so much for your time. Enjoy the weather.
All right, Frank. I'm going to try and enjoy the weather a little longer here.
All
right. Are you coming back?
Likely, yes. I'll definitely give you advance notice so we can hit our restaurant. So.
You got it, my friend. Good talking to you. Take care.
All right. Our friend Mike Claiborne joining us from Jupiter. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to Dallas. Chris Kerber joins us.